Hi, everybody. We're here to talk about games and also anime and also our glasses that, happens sometimes.
Very difficult to clean.
Whatever material this is isn't conducive to cleaning smudges.
It just spreads smearing them. It around. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. There's like certain types of shirts that I can use for that, but this is not one of them.
Anime.
Anime.
Hinamatsuri.
Hinamatsuri.
The Last Hinamatsuri. Episode 12, in which Hina, Hitomi, and their dumbass classmates, whose names I don't remember, are lost in the mountains, and Hina is too hungry to use her powers. They try to make sushi out of snow, but it doesn't work. Then they get rescued anyway. 3 years later, Mao repeats her badass fight scene from the first episode and travels to Japan to search for Hina and Anzu. Season 2 win?
Yeah.
Win? Please? Season 2?
Maybe? If this is not a season 2 win, if this is not a, hey, we'll tune back in for the second season next, blah, 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 and this is a, okay, cool, now read the manga, I'm going to be really not okay. Because this episode as an episode of Hinamatsuri is good.
Yeah, it's fine.
But as a finale to this season is really bad.
I don't know what I would want as a finale to this season.
I don't either. Because they have like this mid-roll credit sequence of like everyone's doing their thing. Like there's nothing is wrapped up because we're still going.
Are we gonna? If this second season happens, are we literally going to cut to 3 years later with Hina? Because that would be crazy, and I'm totally on board with it.
Yeah, I think that is the best of all possible outcomes.
Just
Hina, Anzu, security chief lady with her dog, Nita, just everybody 3 years later, let's see what they're up to.
It was really cool to get that whole, like, throughout that credit, that folk credit scene in the middle of the episode. Yeah. To get a shot of literally every person. Like, that was so cool.
And we didn't point out that the reason, like, even the Mao's having a connection with Hina's because the rocker dude from, like, episode 3 is like, I want to figure out how to do magic like she does. You know? And, like, that was a good, like, connection to make. Like, how would she figure that out? Well, he's been on the internet trying to figure out what it is.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool connection. And so I went back and I watched episode 1 because I had to, and I'm like, he's there! He's in there!
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I was kind of like, okay, so did they not want to tip their hand too much? But they did just a good enough job about making him in the background and keeping him out of like the front shots to where you
You watching it for the first time, you have no idea who these people are, what's going on. It has almost no connection to anything that comes in the rest of the episode, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was certainly not when he showed up in episode 3 or whatever. Like, oh my god, it's the dude from the first episode.
I had no idea. But that was cool. I love everything with Mao. She like easily going up there. Just her whole fight scene. The fact that she went to this dojo and is like their essentially marketing ticket.
Yep.
That was really cool.
The fact that she's been at this dojo for like 3 years now. Mm. She's got people to talk to, but she's still got dummy Hina and dummy Anzu hanging around.
And of course, when she goes on the plane there, she has her luggage and them. I'm glad that's there.
I love when the old master comes out and he's like, if you really want to go, first you must pass the challenge. And then the two other dudes start like, that's too dangerous, you can't. And he's like, enough. But they keep on going. Yeah. Like, it's like they don't understand what the cue is. And it's so good.
And it's a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kung fu spinny action robot.
So let's talk about how strong Mao is. I mean, in terms of her power. Because we've seen that Hina is pretty strong. Anzu is not as strong as Hina, and definitely not as strong as Mao.
Yeah.
Because Mao just goes over there, and not only does she take out all those dudes, like, no problem, she goes up to that machine and stops it without, like, a sweat. Not even a sweat. It's just like, whatever, this machine is nothing, and then blows it out the wall. Which, by the way, I don't tune into Hinamatsuri for action. But when I get it, it's so good.
Yeah. And just every, like that whole scene too, like the way the mooks were showing up. And like I was talking with my girlfriend about that. She's a huge animation nut. And she was like, did the frames per second just skyrocket? I'm like, yes. Every time like someone moved, they were running and going like, and like the whole thing, like you get the cloth flowing, you get their arms wiggling. Everything has like this crazy sense of momentum in her whole scene. It was really cool.
Yeah. I it feels like they're showing off. Like, yeah, we could do this all the time, but we're not gonna, because that's not what this show is. But here's this one scene, though.
Yeah, and I feel like it works, because Hina is just so... She is cardboard in the best way. Yeah. Like, she doesn't need to be gesticulating like that. And when Anzu is, you know, was all bubbly and stuff last episode, we got super detailed her jumping around and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's... This show has used its budget very effectively to make it look as good as it can.
Yeah. That being said, it's also... I don't know. It's just weird because, like, this being the last scene, like, the last episode of the season is, like, if we don't get a second season, that's going to break my heart a little bit, because that was such a cool...
I mean, this very much felt like a let's leave everybody off on the biggest cliffhanger so that people will write into the network and...
Yeah, where is it? Tell me what the address is. I'll write in.
Yeah, ditto. Look, let's not belabor
it. Oh, yeah.
Kaboom.
Of course.
Eggplant.
This.
Yeah, trifecta. Surprising no one. I love this show. This was a weird, uneven last episode.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. You did it. Your trick worked. I want more.
Yeah.
I want you to know, I actually thought about holding up a knife for this one. Specifically because while it had some cool stuff to it, the first half was actually bad to me. Like, almost none of the jokes hit, and I felt like there were barely any to begin with. I think the dude's reactions to everything was funnier to me. But Hitomi and Hina have always been the weakest combo for me. Like, because they don't play off each other so well. Hitomi and Anzu always have these great backs and forths, because Hitomi's rising escalation to, like, oh my god, Anzu, what is your life, is always so good. And Hitomi works really well with adults and other normal people because she's such a pushover. With Hina, it's just she's only now been able to see what Hina's all about. So...
I think if it actually had been the first half of the episode, I might have had a problem with it. By runtime, it's closer to a third.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. It didn't really deliver a lot of good laughs or much of anything, but it was also over and done with so fast that I can't say that.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on that part at least.
All I really, like, take away from that is the last 8 minutes or just whatever the mouse stuff is, because that was so interesting to me. I really like that.
I want our time skipping at Matsuri for the next season.
I know. Because you can see just like the contrast of how Mao looked on the island and even looks now. I'd be so curious to see what everyone else looks like.
Oh, older Hina.
Right.
Well, you can on DeviantArt. There's lots of older
Nope. N-O-P fucking E, bruh. Oh my god, what has Hitomi been up to for 3 years? Anzu! Oh my god, and like a young adult Anzu, she's probably
Yeah.
Sorry, now I'm excited because I love like these characters as little girls are so interesting to me. As young women though, like they would be like
Yeah.
Man.
Closer to legal, yeah.
Shut up.
That's never, ever even
Nope.
They are
The reason I can joke about it is because it is...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, like, always... I feel like that's always been the thing with, like, trying to tell people. Like, we were trying to tell Mike, you would love Hina Matsuri, and you can't... You go, it's about a Yakuza dude, and this 14-year-old girl shows up. It's not what you think it is.
Yeah, I always have to lead with that. I gotta find out a better pitch for this show.
I mean, the pitch that I use with people is it's a big metaphor for parenthood, and that's what usually gets them.
Yeah, you know what? Leading with... No, it's not Loli, it's parenthood, and that's a big difference.
Imagine parenthood with Steve Martin, but there's a psychic powers.
Ooh.
I think that's the show.
That's actually not bad.
I walk into a room with my son, and I'm going, it's parenthood, not Shota.
I don't know that there's much more to say, except that I love this show, and I wish there was more of it to watch.
No, and that was the intent of this episode, was to leave you wanting more.
Yeah.
You did it. Good job.
I want to hold up a knife just because there's no more to watch, and that's killing me.
No, I know. And, like, we've already heard about another show coming up, getting a second season. I hope that this also gets confirmed.
Yeah, ditto. But we haven't heard anything about a second season, but there will be OVAs of Legend of the Galactic Heroes.
Yeah.
Here in episode 11, the penultimate episode... The Alliance captures large portions of Imperial territory, but can't keep the people fed. Everyone agrees that they should retreat back to Iserlohne, but Commodore Falk has a seizure, and the Supreme Commander is doing the Odin sleep thing, so no one can give them permission. Reinhard orders Kirheis to attack the Alliance supply lines and mobilizes the Imperial fleet for a massive counterattack.
In like a 5-minute long,
oh god,
crazy
yeah.
departure scene yep. of going, these are very large ships.
Yeah. Like, thank you, Star Trek. Which movie was that? Oh.
Which one? The first one that's,
yeah.
that just has like the 20-minute?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Star Trek the motion picture.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. That's the first thing I thought of is like, oh my god, this is like that Star Trek movie where we just got 20 minutes of fucking the ship. And I'm like, ugh.
I made the mistake of trying to watch that movie under the influence of certain things that might make time appear to be moving even more slowly. Boy, that
like
was
it's
rough.
An hour long.
Boy, I'm pretty sure we were watching the extended cut of that movie too. What were we thinking?
Nice.
But yeah, okay, I'm gonna jump right to the elephant in this room. What the fuck is with that scene with Falk?
Right.
Yeah, I'm that.
Yeah, that was
every. See, here's the thing. So I've learned to go at these things from different angles. Like, okay, what are they planning on? What, like, maybe there was something I missed, or like, what is the concept behind this scene? And I cannot get past how awkward this scene is.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's clumsy.
Yeah,
it was
like, and intentionally or unintentionally, I can't tell. But as its own episode, as its own scene, it's like, okay, so apparently, like, the conversation is, oh, it seems that he's had a seizure due to the stress. Oh, well, obviously, we can't allow this man to be a part of this anymore. Well,
yeah.
Get my message to the command. He's resting. What? He's resting.
Yeah, like, if... Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to get across there.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, maybe that's intentional. You are seeing it from the viewpoint of this admiral who's like, well, okay. But if that's the case, one hopes that they go back and address that and show you a little more context of what the fuck is actually happening.
But that being said, I'm not sure how much context could fix that because it's like that is cartoonish levels of incompetence or subterfuge on the part of, like, whoever is over
there.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, and coming hot on the heels of last episode where everything felt so drawn, like, so pulled from real life, pulled from the headlines. Yeah, it was a weird, awkward shift, and I kind of didn't like it.
Yeah, it's hard for me to talk about the rest of this episode, mostly because while there is other stuff to this episode, everything hinges around the scene where he goes to pull out the troops, because that's the big thing that everyone agrees on. We need to get out of here. This was a terrible idea. This has already gone so far south that trying to salvage it is going to cost millions and billions of dollars.
Space dollars.
Space dollars, yes.
Bucks, B-U-X.
Yes. And, yeah, like, everything else in this episode is good. Everything, like, oh, yeah, so it's as it turns out, we gotta feed all these people, and we can't. There's no way.
I loved that bit. Was like, we're going to be the liberating forces. Do you have any food?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay. And then
before you give us political freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Stay it that way. Can we just have like some milk and bread and anything?
Yeah. That's such a it's a great scene, and it's also very indicative of, hey, so you want to be the world Superman?
Yeah.
Or well, in this case, the galaxy Superman? Have fun with that. No, that's going to go real well.
Yeah, you want to run this shit? Go for it.
Yeah, I like to get the tiny, like, they just narrate over the politics of it, but they vote, you know, it goes through, and you can just see that there's these people who are like, what the fuck, did you vote for it? And, you know, you can kind of glimpse of, like, get an idea of what's going on. I kind of like that they went through that as fast as possible, but...
Yeah, especially since this is all just the payoff for everything we were told was going to happen in previous episodes. So none of this comes as a surprise. It's like, oh, turns out the guys that I already thought were right were absolutely right the whole time. Good to know. Let's keep telling this story, though.
I like Yang saying, and the one guy's like, so we're going to have to loot this place, right? If we can't get out, we're going to we're gonna have to loot them. Like, why are we letting them eat while we starve? And Yang's just like, because we don't want to be like Rudolph.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's good. That's a good line you just said.
Also, I forget which other guy, because we can't loot what's not there, my dude.
Yeah. But, yeah, that scene was very... Very bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Because I was sitting there, I'm like, all right, either I'm the asshole.
Nope.
No.
Okay, the asshole. Cool.
No, because it was just like, and then the guy comes back saying like, oh, he had a seizure, and the doctor said you have to do everything he says and make sure he doesn't get mad. And I'm like, that person is not fit for active duty. What is he doing? Get out.
Yeah. Like, and fucking what's his face even says, like, well, then obviously.
Then we get him out.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously he's on his way out.
But then, like, oh, well, we can't do that because Supreme Dude's in the Odin sleep. So. Yep.
Fucking weird. And then, 5 minutes at the end of all the ships taking off, which on one hand would be really cool, but I'm not here for CG ships. I'm here to see what the CG ships do. I don't care about this 5 minute sequence of them all launching. I'm like, oh my God, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I'm really curious to see what happens next episode that simultaneously wraps, gives this enough of an ending that it feels like an ending while setting up for these OVAs that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also real eager for High Dive to get on my fucking Roku so I can watch that 70s ass shit, because it's more and more feeling like that's the pivot that I actually want to make.
Yeah,
me too.
Let me just give it to me raw.
But even I think what I like about this show though is that the art through the whole thing has just been stellar. And even when people are Lohan Grom's giving the toast to everybody, mm-hmm. he's like, "All right, everybody giving out their names." And when they're responding, just saying like, "Yes, sir." It's not just the three anime lip flap frames. There's like six.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, "Yeah." It's like there's Hydra, like the whole mouth moving for some of them. Like, it's a lot of talking, so they can save in CG ships, so they have enough room to make everything look really, really pretty. Yeah. And I like how it looks.
Yeah, well, this show has done enough for me that, this was kind of a weird, uneven off episode, but I'm still invested. I still want to see what happens next.
Yeah.
Holding up that eggplant.
Yeah. Not much more to say about it.
Is this going to be 12 or 13?
12.
He's got one more episode.
So okay.
Other than Hinamatsuri, which ended this week, mm-hmm. the other three shows on this list are ending next week.
Gotcha.
So we got one more before the season indies, and oh God.
Have they announced when the Galactic Heroes OVAs are happening? Like, is there like one this year or anything? Okay, 19.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Okay, that's fine. Take your time. Make it look good.
Yep. But in the meantime, we've got, speaking of things that have a season 2 coming out this year, October.
Yeah.
Golden Kamuy.
Woo!
In episode 11, Sugimoto's group spends the night in a spooky hotel run by a femme fatale who turns out to be actually an elderly, I don't know if they firmly established this, male doctor, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. I wasn't entirely sure. And one of the tattooed criminals. But Hammerhead is there, and he won't rest until he's fucked her. Hooky hojinks ensue. You want to talk about some Looney Tunes shit? I wanted
Scooby-Doo shit.
Yeah, this is Scooby-Doo shit.
You get people going through one hallway, coming out the other side. Oh, this is everything I wanted.
I could damn near hear the Benny Hill song running through the back of my head. This episode just does not stop.
Yeah. Everybody falling into torture chambers. It was like, oh, you're the proprietress. Oh, and Shirai Ishii's face of just like, he's been violated while the guy's throwing up.
Oh my God, the look on Shirai Ishii's face is...
And then
we
also get amazing Usurpa's face when she gets the food, and I almost died.
Oh, God.
The physical comedy this whole episode is
she's trying to
so
pull
good.
Off the plate.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's not coming off. And then she finds the fish cake, the square fish cake, and she starts screaming, Dick Sensei! Also, Dick Sensei.
Yeah, Dick Sensei. Yeah.
They go out to dinner with Hammerhead Guy, and the only person who would know who he is the Sneak
Shirai
King. He's not there, I don't think. Or is he?
Not
he's
at dinner.
Not at dinner.
Wait, he was
at dinner.
He was at dinner
because then they talked to each other afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. But he's still like playing both sides, so he's playing it off like he doesn't know him. And Hammerhead gets stupid drunk and is super friendly with everybody and teaches Usurpa that it's all about dicks.
It's all about dicks.
All about dicks.
It's not about the size of the dick. It's getting a dick for you.
Yeah. Does he have a gentleman's dick?
Yeah.
this show is So good.
This shouldn't work as well as it does, but it's just these characters are written so well, these circumstances are written so well, that they just line up magically. Dick Sensei should never have been a thing. Dick Sensei shouldn't work. And now it's all I think I can call him from now on.
And just this whole, you get the tiny bit of food porn, you get everybody just being crazy, you get an awesome fight scene with Sugimoto and Uchiyama for a bit.
Oh my god,
where he throws him and then reverses it and German suplexes him through the next wall as they're tumbling. Oh, it's crazy.
And then fucking Sugimoto falls down and then Dick Sensei is all like, oh well, shit, it was getting good.
And you have them going like, oh, you know judo? And then they just start going at it, and they have these fire auras. He's like, his center of gravity is beneath the earth. It's so crazy.
And I like, it's like, we should stop, or we'll end up killing each other. And I'm like, god damn it. I want to see them fight, and I do. We get to see him just for a minute.
Yeah, tiny grapple there for a bit, and it's great.
Yeah.
And then, Shiraishi, as he's running, drops his bombs down the hole.
Yeah, because she apparently has a self-destruct button in the tavern that she hits. And then everything drops alcohol everywhere. The furnace is on fire. Everything's going nuts.
As they're running down the stairs,
it turns into Scooby-Doo-ass slide.
Shiraishi just leap.
Yeah, I was sort of worried going into this episode, going into what was shaping up to be and turned out to be a largely self-contained episode, one episode before the end of, we now know, the season, not the series, thinking
yes,
like,
which is good.
Like, shouldn't you be trying to wrap up the plot? And I watched this not even knowing there was going to be a second season yet, but realizing, you know what? I want more episodes like this more than I want this arc plot wrapped up.
You are absolutely right. Yeah. Like, I was with me and my pregame buddy, we were like, oh my god, can like more of these episodes be these self-contained? Like they push the plot a little bit, but by and large, we just get to be in another crazy scenario. Like,
I think they have done enough to build up these characters. I know them now. I love them. I know what they're all about. Now it's just crazy, kooky, high and ho jinx across Japan. Let's go.
Yep. Let's do it. Well, guys, let's do it. Let's do more.
Yeah, of course.
More dicks. More gentlemen's dicks, please.
Yep.
Please, sir, may I have more dicks of a gentleman? It's a trifecta. Actually, trifectas across the board this week.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
we're down to the down to the goods.
Down to that nitty gritty. Let's talk about that nitty gritty Megalo box. Here in episode 12, Yuri has his integrated gear surgically removed in order to fight Joe on equal footing. Joe trains for the big fight. Yukiko discovers Joe's secret, but decides not to reveal it. There's a rap song. The end. This episode's not about plot. This is about building up for that big final fight.
I feel like in a way it's all plot. I mean,
the stuff with Yuri.
Yuri and Yukiko have a pretty big development.
Fucking Mr. Miyagi brings back Aragaki.
Yep.
Oh, just my dick was so hard this whole episode. This is everything.
Hey, remember how I was going to lose the use of my legs if I boxed anymore? Just kidding. Let's train.
Go. Yes, please.
To be fair, light sparring in a full-on boxing match, I'm not too sure what you constitute, but it did feel a little bit weird, like, hey, your legs gonna be okay? They'll be fine, don't worry about it.
We get full episode of blind Nanbu going like, Joel, you're not putting your weight into it. I can hear it. It sounds like a fart.
Sounds like a cow's fart.
And then when when Yukiko comes to Joe near the very end, and also Yuri is like just skyrocketed for me this whole episode. We got a tiny bit of flashback with him and him going through getting his second skin ripped off. And
By the way, who was right?
Yeah.
This guy right here. I said it's gonna get taken off, and I was fucking right.
It was so good, and he had a padlocked in the room, like, oh, if I can't handle the pain, I don't deserve to fight him.
Yeah, I got some painkillers right here.
No,
literally right here.
But I've gotta take it.
So those were painkillers, specifically. I was wondering what those were for the
time. I don't know if they were like his nanomachine things he was using.
Yeah,
I don't know what the specifics are, but he says like, I could take the pain away right now.
But he doesn't want it, and I said, okay.
Yep.
And so, man, we get to see Yukiko and Yuri kind of go their separate ways a tad, but, you know, We'll see how that goes.
But what about our dream? Bitch, that's your dream. My dream is fucking, I mean, fighting this guy.
If you meet one person in a generation who, from the bottom of your heart, you want to do nothing but fight, drop everything and make it happen.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, Yuri, my dude. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Get to see a little of what Mikio's been up to.
Yeah, just... I love seeing him, like, out in the woods now.
Yeah, chill Mikio is best Mikio.
Oh,
I'm
totally.
Like, thanks, thanks, dude. I'm glad after that defeat, you were like, I'm gonna take a little while. I'm gonna maybe go out in the mountains, get myself a cabin.
Yeah, with, you know, a mad scientist laboratory in the basement. Because, I'm still Mikio.
I'm assuming he actually ended up getting that moved in there after.
At Yuri's request, yeah. I'm sure. But
we get Yukiko, like, after seeing Yuri, like, recover and everything, Yukiko goes to Joe and he's like, Yuri took the gear off. He said he wanted to fight on even terms. And we just hear, like, a bit. God, the music this whole episode. Yeah. The music this whole fucking series. Yeah. But, like, we just get a bit of, like, the bass come in, then the drums start hitting, and you see the front-on picture of Joe taking up the whole screen. He's just smiling, just like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, that smile is... I've had a lot of criticisms of Joe, but that smile always brings me back to it. That's exactly Joe right there, and it's so good. We've waited a while to see that smile again, too. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's been a while, right?
To put up with a lot of shit.
Yeah. It was a little bit weird that he is so okay with Nanbu being blind, but I think he's just kind of pushing that down because it's like, I don't got time to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nanbu's having fun. He doesn't seem to mind.
Yeah, he seems to be doing all right. This whole episode, we get Aragaki come back. We get his trainer. Yukiko has some cool shit. Just more development with him and her and Yuri. See a bit of the flashback, see your grandpa for a tad, know that she's always wanted to have this dream.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what else you do, but Yukiko just being okay with whatever. Like, I've always been real fuzzy about she's got this important contract about gear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole deal was Yuri's gear is the future of this company.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is using gear besides boxers in this world? Like, who is this contract with? Is this the military?
It's supposed to be... well, here's the thing. When it comes to developmental technology with limbs and legs and stuff like that, well, they don't say it in the show. 99% of that stuff is medical and military. Really, when you're creating technology like that, a lot of companies don't even necessarily have a set guideline of, like, where this is supposed to go. Sometimes it's just like, yeah, whoever wants to buy it.
And I mean, that makes perfect sense. There's nothing wrong with pure research. Like, we'll figure out what this is for once we figure out what it is. But considering that we have this very specific contract that seems to be on the line.
Yeah, the fact that we don't know if it's military or if it's medical.
And also they keep saying, like, yeah, let's see this, you know, we'll sign this contract. Let's see it in action in the finals. But then they're never quite clear on, well, does this contract hinge on him using it in the finals or not?
I don't know. I feel like that's one of those Abrams box things. Like, what was the contract? What is it? I don't need to know for me to care.
It's just hard to tell, like, what the stakes actually are for Yukiko. Like, what has she actually given up by giving Yuri the okay to, you know what, this is what you're going to do, I guess.
Tyler.
Didn't we already see an example of another style of gear with the dude in the junkyard?
Yeah, no, there is. Like, there's all these, like, styles of gear and stuff. Like, even Aragaki's, like, mentor has, like, a prosthetic limb that looks like it'd be part of a gear or something.
I can totally see it, like, helping in, like, construction.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm comfortable inferring a lot when it comes to this show because I want it to slap its big, hairy, afro dick across my face, and I'll love every second of it.
There's not much more that I can say about this episode than we haven't already covered. I will say it is a little bit. On one hand, I like how well it's doing everything. On the other hand, I have realized that a lot of this was predictable.
Very much so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But again, it does it really well. It's got a lot of style. It's got great. And God, the characters are what's really pulling it together. Yuri was one of my favorite characters since. I'd say about ever since the second time we saw him. The first time, like, him and that scene, like, the scene with Joe was like, okay, he's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until we got that first scene with him and Yukiko that my interest in Yuri started just rising up. And then every scene with Yuri since then...
When he shows up and's like, come on, Joe, don't be a little bitch, get up.
Yeah, and so that's why again, my criticisms of Joe's character has always been just kind of offset by the what he does for everybody else. And I'm really happy that, you know, Yuri got that fucking gear off and is going to face him in the ring. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's my only real criticism is just it's a deep sea story, but Yukiko is an interesting enough character that I wish she were slightly better served here.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And maybe they still find a way to do that in the finale. I sort of don't think so. It feels like the finale is just the final fight,
yeah,
and that's fine, but, you know, that's not going to stop me from holding up this eggplant. Try fucked up, by the way.
Yeah, I guess I do have to agree. Yukiko deserved a little bit better, if only mm-hmm. because she had such a cool, interesting whole... Everything to do with her just had so much going on in it, and she's been an emotional thrust for other characters. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree.
Like, I like, we get inklings of her character enough for me to, I guess, be okay with it. Like, her knowing, her finding Joe's identity and knowing everything and going, just don't talk about it. And, yeah. like, her subordinates, like, that's illegal, you can't do it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah to see her in her, like, sitting in her chair and having an out. She mm-hmm. can just be like, sorry, but we have to call it off. Turns out that Joe's an illegal fighter.
Yeah.
And she would have taken no blowback. It would have just been a matter of like, yeah, that's illegal. We can't allow this to happen.
I don't believe for a second she would have gotten no blowback, though. Hometown hero, gearless Joe. No, she would have looked like the biggest asshole in the world if she'd called it off now, right before the finals.
I think just tell the police.
I think the most...
Well, that's, again, we do not have a clear idea of what the consequences are if this is found out. If this is just... Okay, go back out to the slums if this is jail time, if, like, what would happen? And that, I think, is a flaw. Like, it would have been better world building, better stakes for the characters to know this is what happens if this gets out.
I do think that the series has had a bit of trouble kind of setting up stakes, kind of setting up, like, consequences for certain actions. But, yeah, I mean... They're the small things that were obviously cut to serve the time that they had to tell the story. They had 13 episodes, where this could have been a 26 episode series. I think they could have taken more time to show more of the interim fights. We could have gotten more insight into some of the characters, but they wanted to tell a tighter story. And in the end, some things might have gotten lost. But we'll see. We'll see how it wraps up next episode.
I just think any scene that would have been there to establish anything else with her this episode would have probably ended up cutting the rap, and I don't want anything cutting that. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, it is, again, really good. Whoever's doing the English translation,
yeah, they're doing
bang up job.
They're doing good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, without knowing what the original was actually saying, who knows?
I'll tell you, it's pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah. I was surprised at how close it was.
Yeah, I mean, it felt that way just because... Like, all the themes that it talks about, like, yeah, these are the notes that we've been
happening.
Hitting all along.
Yep.
And just the fact that, you know, reading it, it's like, yeah, these lines rhyme, they hit the beats, mm-hmm. like, this is great. That must be so hard to do.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the, I'm also just the whole animation that plays over that segment is so good.
So good.
Yeah.
Just the parallel of seeing Joe and Yuri, like, kind of fade back and forth when they're practicing. Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm so, like, my dick has never been harder. Like, seriously. This show is evocative of everything I loved about anime in 2003.
Yep.
Like, that's all I needed.
All right, I guess that wraps it up for this week, though.
Yeah, that's what we've got on the docket for this week. We will see you again next week for some series/season finales. After that... We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll go from there. Because I know we've got like people going out of town. Like AX is happening. I highly doubt anything substantial will be going on afterward.
Yeah, I think the general idea is next week we'll be wrapping up this season. Week after that, the Fuck Buddies. Week after that, we'll see. We still need to do our research on what's coming out next season.
Yeah. It's the summer season, and the summer season is usually packed full of two things. Really dumb, fun bullshit, and just the worst garbage. So, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I've seen some scuttlebutt on the Discord saying, oh boy, this summer season is not gearing up promising. But then again, I mean, you never know what hidden gems you'll find. Like
Tonegawa.
Tonegawa. There's a series about I think it's three Yakuza guys who get sex changes to become idols. Mm,
yeah. Yes.
That's going to be amazing regardless of what way you look at it. Yeah. Bye.
No, we got Tonegawa, anything that's more kaiji from Madhouse. I don't care if it's a comedy. I want it in my life, in my butt.
Well, we'll find out what else we want in our butts next time. Thanks for tuning in, you guys.
Later, y'all.